Well, good morning, everyone, and a very, very warm welcome to you all. Special welcome if you're here for the first time. I really hope that you'll feel part of being part of the presence and of family of God, and to experience that love which God has for each of us and for all of us. Very warm welcome if you're joining us online as well. This is a service of Holy Communion, and I hope you'll be able to make your spiritual communion at home or wherever you are as well, as we participate in all that God has done. The first Sunday of the month is now going to be our Communion Sunday rather than the second. So it's really good to be able to gather together today to celebrate the great things that God has been doing for us. And our theme this morning is that of the gospel. This is the gospel, and there's nothing more powerful than Holy Communion is to demonstrate the visual impact of what God has done for us in Jesus. So let's stand together and let us worship the Lord. We meet together in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. For the Lord is here. The Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. Let us worship the Lord. All praise to his holy name. Sorry, I went a bit off piece there. It was my Anglican background. There we are. I shall shall invite you now to join in some worship, sung worship. And the first song we're going to sing is a really beautiful song about the power of Jesus' name. And we're going to just enjoy this. If you want to use a flag to worship God, then that's fine. The second song we're going to sing is much more lively. It's more reggae. And that's when I invite the children to come and join in with some instruments. Just enjoy worshiping the God whose name is above every name. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us now. You invite us to participate in your love, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love of the Spirit, and the love that you have for all of us. We pray that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Give you glory, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, set our hearts on fire with love for you.
Thank you.
So let's praise God in a different way now as we invite everybody to come and join in with this rhythm. So use your hands, use your feet, use your bodies. Come and use the instruments if you'd like to. Get moving up on your feet. This is a great song for everybody to sing. Even if you don't know it, let's join in some way. Have you got that rhythm? Of the offering. Larry's got it. I want to pay tribute to all these musicians and flag wavers and clappers and movers. Oh, it's just a wonderful whole church affirmation that God is good. And Lord, we thank you that you are so good that you gave us everything.
And you, thank you, Lord, that you are giving us so much so that we might, out of the overflow of your kindness, give to you. And bless, we pray, the gifts given today and in many other ways throughout the weeks and months. Bless it, Lord, that we may be good for others. Good news for the world in which we want to serve. Amen.
Amen.
Right, please be seated for a moment. Wow. Now, one of the great things that Jesus did for us was that he helped us to understand how we can best pray to the Father. And he gave us a fantastic prayer, didn't he? Our Father, it begins. Amazing words to think that we can call God our Father as his children. He went on to talk about other things that we can pray for. And he gave us lots of different headings, as it were, in which we can gather our prayers together. That was called the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, we have a great prayer that says, Your kingdom come, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Let the things that happen in the world be just what you want, Lord. Let your rule and your reign happen in this world. All the good things, the best things, the things as you would have them be. And we're going to be praying those things very shortly in our time during Ascension and Pentecost. And Helen is going to explain that in a few moments. But we're going to see a short video which has been put together by the Archbishops of Canterbury and York. And you can watch what's happening now. In a few moments, we're going to hear how we can all, as a church family, join in with that great prayer over those 10 days. So let's see what Thy Kingdom Come is about.
God placed on the Archbishops of Canterbury and York's heart the importance of evangelism and witness. And of course, this must start in prayer. So in 2016, the Archbishops of Canterbury and York put out a call to prayer. The message was to the Anglican Church worldwide to pray for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. They decided this should happen between Ascension to Pentecost, drawing on the traditional times of prayer as the disciples did in Acts 1 and 2. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Then they returned to Jerusalem and were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Before long, Roman Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, and many other denominations across the world began to join in Thy Kingdom Come, rediscovering the richness of this historic tradition. Momentum quickly built up, with Christians in different countries around the world beginning to pray together during these 11 days for 5 people they knew to become Christians. Year on year, more Christians joined the global wave of prayer, gathering to pray in small groups, churches, families, and as individuals. Prayer took place everywhere, in the streets and in church buildings, in schools and in community spaces, in homes and on public transport, all over the place. Sometimes they prayed continuously for the 11 days, and other times they prayed in the mornings and evenings, or as a family together, or an individual saying a 5-minute prayer on the go. People gathered to pray and celebrate, irrespective of their ecumenical differences. Roman Catholics and Methodists, Pentecostals and Anglicans, Baptists and Orthodox, side by side praying for the presence of the Holy Spirit to work in them for others. Now Christians in more than 100 countries are uniting in this prayer. Come Holy Spirit, let your kingdom come during this time. Will you join us?
So Helen's going to come just to help us to see what's happening in this area for Thy Kingdom Come. Thank you, Helen. Thanks for all your organisation and overseeing of all this project. It's a lot of work.
Well, the prayer oversight team have been quite busy and are still busy getting this together. And isn't it amazing to join with over 100 countries for those 10, 11 days? And if it's new to you, at least you've had a bit of a glimpse of what it's about there. And we have been doing this at church for a few years now, except for lockdown. And it's a case of how do you join in? Well, there are resources available to download. If you look on the church newsletter or on the website, you will find a lot about this. And there's a program, a daily program to follow. There are also these books that are at the back of church. There's Thy Kingdom Come Prayer Journal and there's Thy Kingdom Come Nevea. And they have got daily practices for you to just go through during those 10 days. It's that personal time of reflection on your own. And they are on the, you know, you don't need the book. They're on the newsletter and you can just get them every day. And for children, Helen and the team are going to be organising their own little daily reflection for families and children to do together. So that will be wonderful. During that time, our normal prayer activities continue. And if you haven't joined a prayer group yet, just for those, why not give it a go? Have a look on the programme. We're putting several events on daily, just a little event on this, praying through art, praying through music. There's a prayer walk, there's the power of the story, different things, just something for an hour for you to come corporately together. Also, the blue room is going to be transformed into the prayer room. And this will be open daily, every day throughout this time. And it's there for you to just pop in, drop in, and spend a bit of time there. We, years ago, I remember, Barry and Debbie, we had lunch, didn't we? There, you know, we gathered as a community group, life group, to have lunch together. So, you know, use it, meet there with life group if you'd like. What else have I got to say? I think that's about it, really. Except there is a 36-hour prayer vigil at the end of it, beginning on Friday, the 26th, and running continuously through till Sunday morning. And we've done this many times before, and I can't tell you how powerful it is when that prayer room is soaked in prayer for all that time. And there's a sign-up sheet. It's been going around the churches, and we've got it today. So if you can begin to think of that weekend when you'd like a slot, just see me afterwards and fill your name in. There will be more evening slots available because Dave's not here this year because he usually books them all up. So anything else you want to know, just ask.
Have a word with Helen. Thank you very much indeed. Well, if you want to come here at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray for an hour, what an amazing experience that would be. And with people from all over the world, it really is quite a remarkable time. Let's stand together. Jesus' desire is for us to know deep peace by being in a good relationship with God. The gospel tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, that is, making us friends with God, not counting people's sins against them. In that way, we find peace with him and with one another. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you. So we share a sign of that peace. Let us do that with one another, with our children, with our young people. And then when we've done that, the young people and children, their leaders will move to their groups. Peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you. Peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks, Barry. Let's remain standing as we move into a time of worship that is sung and expressed from our hearts. For yesterday, many of us will have witnessed, and many people all over the world will have witnessed the crowning, the enthronement of King Charles III and Camilla. And today we're just so conscious that the King who is over all and who rules in justice and love is not only on his throne, as it were, crowned with honour and glory, but is present with us now. The Bible says that the Lord is enthroned on the praises of his people. In our reading, which was also read at that coronation, we hear that Jesus the Son is the image of the invisible God. It's Jesus who shows us the full nature of God. He was the firstborn over all creation. For in him, wrote St. Paul, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So, Lord, we pray that you might take your place among us, Creator of all, and Lord of all. Jesus, we enthrone you.
Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you are King. Standing here in the midst of us, we raise you up with our praise.
live to serve you, Lord, the King of Kings. We live to serve you. We pray, Lord, that as we come to open your word, that your Spirit would open our hearts to that word, and we might receive those truths that you want us to hear deep within, so that we might serve you fully with all our whole being every day of our lives. Please do be seated. Okay. So Christina is going to come and bring that word, the most precious thing that the world affords.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I was having a conversation with Helen Attree, our children's head of children's work this week. And she was telling me about all the different things she's doing and amazing stuff that's going on. And I said to Helen, why? Why do you do all this? And she said to me something incredibly significant. She said, Joe, it's really so that children can can know that they're loved by God and that Jesus is their friend. So that children can know that they are loved by God and that Jesus is their true friend. I thought that really, really speaks of someone whose heart has been touched by the God who wants all people to know that. All people to know that they're loved beyond price and that Jesus Christ can be in that relationship of friendship with them forever. And I saw Helen this morning and she was telling me about something that happened to Early Birds as well today, which I won't go into, but she said with tears in her eyes that that really showed how that child was connecting with the Lord and knowing something of his love. It's an ongoing weekly thing, the experience of knowing that you're loved in amongst our children. And it's true with all ages as well. She wants them to know the gospel. Indeed, she is a servant of the gospel, as St. Paul described himself to be to the church in Colossae. But each of us has that same calling to follow the example of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. And a theme that was writ large and central at yesterday's coronation as well. So this is the gospel. What is the gospel? That's our theme for this morning. Well, let me try to put it in terms of experience and images. In fact, x-ray images. You might well have experienced having a broken leg. I don't know whether it's as serious and dramatic as the image on the screen now, but my goodness me, just look at that dislocation. It is completely out of alignment. It is incredibly painful, debilitating, and indeed life-threatening. And you may have been seeing that series recently that was on the television called Surgeons on the Edge of Life. And they would operate on bones like this and ligaments to reset them and to get them into alignment again and fix them so that they could begin to heal naturally. And they would put pins in and straighten them up so that that healing could continue. And if the operation had gone well, they'd been able to go and see the patient afterwards and they recovered from the anesthetic and say, it's good news. Things have gone well. It's good news. And really, of course, as you know, that phrase, good news, is the translation or what word that we use for the gospel. It is about how God, through Jesus, puts us back together again in a right relationship, so aligns us with God in a way that we hadn't been before. Just listen again to how St. Paul put it in his letter to the new Christians in this Turkish town of Colossae. He says in verse 21 and 22, "Once you were alienated from God, when you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." In other words, you were out of line. You were not in relationship with God. You were alienated. "But now," he says, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through his death. Now, meaning since Jesus died on the cross and rose again. This is the now that he's talking about. He's reconciled you. In other words, because of what Christ has done, taking the punishment and pain that we deserve on himself, he has made it possible for us to be in that right relationship and to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, completely healed. Completely healed in the fullest sense of the word. This is the gospel, says St. Paul. You've been brought into a right relationship, a healthy relationship, a life-giving relationship. And then in these verses from verse 19, he explains why that has been, what the motivation within God's heart was. For God was pleased to have all his fullness in him, that is in Jesus. The whole of God within the whole of Christ. Jesus was fully man, but also fully God. This is the miracle of the incarnation. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace, shalom, wholeness, through his blood shed on the cross. All things, things seen and unseen. Now, I was thinking of dwelling for a little while on this word all, which occurs many times in this passage. And I thought, how could I unpack that a bit and get the different nuances on it and what it really means, to untangle the hidden meanings behind the word all? But really, I don't need to do that. It says it very clearly on its own. All means all. All things in heaven and on earth have been reconciled through Christ. For this is the gospel, that Jesus has made peace with God possible for people and for our planet. And all that we don't know about beyond. All things. Why? What was his motivation? What moved Almighty God to act in such a way? Well, every one of us knows to some degree the pain, the longing, the unpeace deep within when things are not right in a relationship. Whether it's with our partner, parents, children, friendship, when that goes wrong, there is a deep pain within us, but it's a love pain. It's the pain of loving someone. And that why question is answered very powerfully in one of the stories, the parables that Jesus told, which is described as the gospel within the gospel in Luke 15, of course, where the separated son, or the lost son, or the prodigal son is described. The son had chosen to go his own way. Far off he was from the father's home and his love. But the father, who is pictured as God by Jesus, is waiting for the son to return. He's going out. He's looking. He's watching. He's praying for him to come home. He'd done all that he could. He'd made sure the calf had been fattened. The wine had been chilled. The robe had been dry cleaned and the sandals had been repaired and polished. But the father's heart was aching, longing, waiting with that love pain until his son had seen that there was more to life than stuff. And that first sight of him returning initiated him running out towards him and meeting him where he was. And this sculpture by Charlie Maxey of the embrace of the Father reflects something of the power of that reunion. We've already sung of this gospel. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, but your love was greater. What could separate us now? What could separate us now? And so God's love for creation is also caught up with his love for people, because he was the creator of heaven and earth, of all that is and all that is not seen. And we've seen over these recent weeks and months a new groundswell of care and heartache for God's creation. Just locally where I live, it's quite close to the River Wye. This is a beautiful River Wye, one of the most polluted rivers in the whole of Britain. And it hurts when we see things like that. We know that this part of God's creation is being completely defiled. It's out of alignment with what God wants. St. Paul described it in Romans 8 about like a groaning that creation is feeling, this pain. But notice what sort of pain it is. He says, we know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Isn't that incredible? That it implies that something miraculous is going to happen. It's not just the pains of destruction, it's the pains of childbirth. That God's purposes, in God's purposes and in God's time, there will be healing, there will be new life, there will be a restoring of all things. And the signs are that people are beginning to listen with extraordinary, huge global initiatives being taken. But also locally. Do you know, I was visited by people who were the two candidates for our local elections from the Conservative Party and from the Liberal Democrats. And we talked about what the issues were for them. And both of them said that the number one issue on their list was pollution of the River Wye. Second, imagine what that is. Begins with a P. Potholes. Those are the two big issues that this election was fought on. How interesting. King Charles III, of course, was called to serve the most marginalized and broken people of this world, as Justin Welby made clear in his address. His dedication to the environment in which he's had as a passion all his life. There's something going on within the hearts of people in our world. Even the organizers of the Chelsea Flower Show, which I read this week, we're going to have three out of the nine show gardens dedicated to what they call resilient plants. You guess what those are? Weeds. That's right. And they've got all these thorns in the bushes and sort of blackberry things and nettles. And goodness knows, we're actually going for the first time soon. I'm very interested to see what those gardens will look like. I hate those sort of things. But I've got to learn to love them and control them and chop them down, I think. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But Sean, my wife, made an interesting comment. She said, soon we won't be having gardener's world, we'll be having weeder's world. So I don't know what will happen after that. But anyway, there are signs of there being caught up in something of the Creator's love for his world and being motivated to take actions that lead to restoration and shalom. It's moving from our head to our heart and then to our hands. There is hope. There's still a way to go. Those broken bones are being brought back into alignment, but healing can take a long time. And so we pray and continue to pray, your kingdom come, in sure and certain hope that there is coming a day when all things will be at peace under the kingship of Christ. This river is part of our praying, thy kingdom come. Praying for people to be reconciled to God and that the whole of creation might be caught up and held in that same embrace that God has for all things. That's the gospel, that all things are caught up in his love. And as we seek to be servants of that gospel, our embrace must be wide enough to encompass all things. For the kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. And at the completion of all time, God's kingdom will come in its fullness. The Swiss theologian summed it up when he said, "The kingdom of God is creation healed." All things brought into alignment with God and his purposes. And this is the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to affirm what we believe to be true and has been stated down the centuries in the words of the Nicene Creed, which encompasses those huge truths, as we say together with one voice, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please do be seated for a moment. We're going to come to prayer in a moment, which Val is going to lead. But I want to just draw your attention to one thing, one way of opportunity to pray, a lot of it in quiet reflection, that I'm going to be leading two different quiet days at a place called Wellsprings, which has just been opened by Kathy and Joe Silman. It's their beautiful home near Ledbury in the grounds of Eastnor Castle, and it really is a gorgeous place just to be. So if any of you feel you'd like to come and take advantage of the opportunity to find rest that restores, it's the first one on the 30th of May, and then looking in June at the significance of silence, please just sign up as indicated in the notes or from the email that has been sent on Friday. There's opportunities to book first 15 on each. We don't have a maximum of 15 places on each one. Let's come to God now in prayer as Val leads us.
Today, I'm using this week's local paper as a guide for our prayers. The front page is the celebration of the success of our local football team in gaining promotion from their current league. Lord, we thank you that we have something much greater to celebrate as we're gathered here today to celebrate our risen Lord. We see the excitement on the faces of the football fans, and we pray that our faces will shine with even more excitement and enthusiasm as we take you into our workplaces and our communities this week. Next, we turn to another celebration, the coronation of King Charles III. We come with many different views of the royal family, but above all, we thank you that we have a human king who is committed to serving you and the people of the UK and the Commonwealth. I shall use the words of Tirfan's prayer for him. Almighty God, full of wisdom and grace, we pray your wisdom for King Charles III for as long as he may be monarch. We ask that in his position as leader, he would seek your face as king and ruler over all. We pray that he would always seek to act in service of the people and that he would find blessing as he does so. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. On page 24, we have news of one of our local schools. And here I want to pray for our church children as they attend a wide number of our local schools or are educated at home. We pray that they will grow in their relationship with you and that they will be excited to share you with their peers. We pray also that they will have the courage to stand up for your truth and values when the need arises, and that they will shine as beacons of light wherever they go. And finally, we turn to page 3 and a police incident. We remember all of our public service workers, particularly the police, fire and medical services. We thank you that they are there to protect us and help us in times of need. We pray that you will guide them in all they do, giving them insight when making difficult decisions and compassion for those in trouble. And we pray also for our newly elected local councillors that they will serve their communities effectively and prioritise their work and use of funds appropriately. Amen.
So we come now to our Holy Communion and to celebrate this incredible gift that God has given us in Jesus. And our children and young people, I hope, will be joining us at some point in this service so they can join in Holy Communion. If you as parents or carers would like them to receive the bread and wine, please do invite them to do that as well. If rather not, then we'll just pray. I'd say just. We'll pray for God's blessing on them as well. In the communion, there is non-alcoholic wine and gluten-free wafers here at the front, if that's your preference and need. So let's come to God in prayer. Let's stand together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Lord of all life, you created the universe where all living things reflect your glory. You give us this great and beautiful earth to discover and to cherish. You give us sun and moon and starlit sky, everything that gives us light, light for our eyes, our hearts, our minds. You made us all, each wonderfully different, to join with the angels and sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, loving Father, because when we turned away, you sent Jesus, your Son. He gave his life for us on the cross and shows us the way to live. Send your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us Christ's body and his blood. For on the night before he died, when darkness had fallen, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this to remember me." After they had eaten, he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks, shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. So, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate his love, his death, his resurrection. And as you feed us with these gifts, send your Holy Spirit and change us more and more to be like Jesus, our Savior. Help us, Father, to love one another as we look forward to that day when suffering is ended and all creation is gathered in your loving arms. And now, with all your saints, we give you glory through Jesus Christ in the strength of the Spirit, today and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. So let us share this special meal together. Let's remember Jesus died for us and rose again and is with us now. Let's draw close to God and each other around God's table. We're going to administer the bread and wine from the front and at the back of the church. If you'd like to have the non-alcoholic and gluten-free, please come to the front. The musicians would like to come and play and join with us in worship. That would be lovely. And the congregation would like to be seated. let's express our thanks to God for all that he's given us and all that he's done in us and through us as we draw our service to a conclusion. For bringing us together in love, thank you. For feeding us with your very self, thank you. For the power of your Spirit, thank you. For sending us out in your love to change the world, thank you. Are you ready to go out into the world to share God's love with everyone? We are ready. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. So as we come to the end of our service, if you'd like to have prayer for anything that God has spoken to you about this morning, come to the front here and we will be able to minister that. Please do gather for coffee, refreshments in the hall afterwards, and let us enjoy this wonderful day together. Amen.